Welcome to the See Through Design podcast, where we have an open and honest conversation about design. Hosted by myself, Kaz Cusimano.
And myself, Liam Jackson.
Welcome to the See Through Design podcast.
Welcome.
And welcome back after a long bank holiday weekend. We didn't post a episode last week because we were having a well-earned lengthy bank holiday Easter weekend.
Yeah, it was good. Went for some long walks. Went for a new walk along the River Mole, which is near me, and I saw loads of wildlife, including a kingfisher fish, which was
awesome.
Kingfisher bird, which was amazing.
Eating a fish. So, did you eat lots of Easter eggs?
I didn't get one Easter egg. I got a card from my sister.
Do 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 do. Go on, keep going in the story. Didn't get any Easter eggs.
So I didn't even have. I bought myself a chocolate bar. That was it. It's quite sad, really, isn't it? But
what chocolate bar?
It was Cadbury's Fruit and Nut.
Not favouring Cadbury's Fruit and Nut. There are other alternatives to Cadbury's Fruit and Nut. Other brands out
this
there.
This is not an advert for any type of chocolate. But I also bought myself, and it arrived at the weekend as well, bought myself off eBay a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles party wagon.
Yeah, van. You did show me, and I'm very jealous of it.
From when I had one as a kid, and I saw it as a good price, so I just snapped it up.
Yeah.
And it's probably just going to sit there and collect dust, but hopefully, I mean, I'll probably never sell it, but maybe one day it might be worth
You say sit there, collect dust. I can imagine when the lights go out, you're right, on your bed playing with your Ninja Turtle wagon, going, "Come on, Leo, get Shredder."
You know? Did I leave my webcam on the other day?
Yeah, exactly. Then you turned it off, and it was my spy cam that saw everything. awesome, man! No, I'm glad you had a good weekend, and I pretty much ate all the chocolate that you didn't get. So all the chocolate eggs that you didn't get, I had them.
Balances out. It's good.
Absolutely. So we had a good kind of reception to our first Seven Deadly Sins episode about envy. And today we're bringing to you the second in the installment.
Cue the music.
Seven Deadly Sins of Design. Pride.
So yeah, pride. Kaz asked me if I had a particular subject that we wanted to discuss. And there was no particular reason other than I thought pride was probably a good one to follow from envy, because we should really take pride in what we do, but we don't always, as we found out in the envy episode, we don't always listen to the positive things we should think about when we're reviewing our work and looking at other people's work. So I just thought pride is probably a good one to follow. I don't know if you feel the same.
I do. I think pride's a funny one as well, because it's almost, we call it Seven Deadly Sin pride, but actually the way we're going to be talking about it today is there's positives within pride. So it's almost a sin if you don't acknowledge pride or have pride in your work. But then there's also an element of having too much pride or vanity that is detrimental as well to your potential growth and the ability to kind of develop and grow within design.
Yeah.
So I think there's kind of two ways of looking at the word pride and how we apply it to ourselves. I think the conversation, I don't know about you, Liam, but I sort of see it kind of darting from, you know, one minute we might be talking about pride as in a, you know, pride in a narcissistic manner is no good for whatever reason. And then we might be saying, actually, we need to take pride and reflect and stuff. So hopefully, listeners, you'll follow us and kind of understand what we're trying to say. I'm enjoying this series, these Seven Deadly Sins series. Don't think anybody else is doing anything like that out in the podcast realm of designers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really good fun. So, Pride. Let's dive straight into Pride. Okay. I think I'm going to start off with talking about Pride as a negative attribute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think it becomes a negative attribute when you sort of become vain, because I think there is a kind of a link between pride and vanity.
Yeah.
And you get to a point where it's got, you know, we've often said, haven't we, that we're always sort of very critical of our own work.
Mm-hmm.
But it pushes us to learn. And if we do start feeling like we know everything, we almost stop learning, don't we?
Yeah.
So pride / vanity, I think, can have a bit of an effect on that. You could get to a point where you become too big for your boots, and the Stormzy song, that, isn't it? And you get too big for your boots, cue Stormzy music. Then you decide to not give credit to others or not help other designers progress, or be very kind of big-headed about your work, very know-it-all. I think that, for me, is when pride is a sort of a negative attribute.
Definitely.
Along with the idea of just generally not kind of having, you know, kind of empathy as well towards the people that you might be working with, if you're working within a design team, or even your clients. You know, sometimes I think that designers can get way on their high horse and start talking bad and down at their clients, and I don't think it's very professional. So they almost position themselves as better than them.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, in that aspect, in that kind of way, pride as a negative, can be quite negative.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I agree that if you think you're the master and a know-it-all, like you said, then you might as well give up, really.
Mm. Absolutely.
Because it is about that push and wanting to do better. If you lose that, then you're not going to get better, are you?
Absolutely.
I think a field like graphic design is always evolving as well. So there's no way you could master it all.
No.
You know, like, when you started your career, were you doing UX, UI?
No.
No, so now you do quite a lot of it. So there's always something coming along. There's always something to learn. And even if it's something you have been doing for years, it doesn't really matter, does it? Like, you know, it's just you need to push. And I think I mentioned to you last night, there was a guy on MasterChef who said,
yeah,
at the end of the day, I'm just making someone's tea.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the opposite of look at that and saying, well, what is it I really do? Do I need to put myself on a pedestal, mm-hmm, and think that I'm this almighty being?
Yeah.
Because we design someone's logo or brochure or anything. And like you say, that goes back to the client, where, you know, a client might give you an idea that is better than one you might have. So you should listen to the client. You should.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no bad thing in clients' input. Because they might be right sometimes, you know, they might be wrong, but you don't need to be a know-it-all. You know, listen to what they've got to say.
And always fight, you know, because you feel like you have to, because you have that pride, you know, and you don't want to swallow that pride. You always kind of get into a bit of a tussle with the client, maybe, or being very resistant to their amends, or being resistant to certain things that they're saying, or the critique that they may be giving across. And I think there's an element of, like what you just said, it's acceptance of the fact that there is method to their madness. It might seem madness to you as a designer, but I do think there's a balance, isn't there? I mean, we do have to advise and deliver what we feel is the right solution to the brief.
Yeah.
And again, we have to accept that even that solution is going to be subjective and up for interpretation, to which the client might decide that it's not what they're looking for, it's not the solution they're after. But only by seeing what you've delivered has it then sparked an idea in them. So, you know, a lot of people go like, oh, the client doesn't know anything about design, but everyone has the ability to create ideas.
Yeah.
So, you know how we have a discussion about design, you know, we look at work, each other's work, and we say, have you thought about this? Or have you done that? Have you tried that? Okay. And then I'll do it and it will look great. And I'm thinking, do you know what, Liam? How did you even come up with that? You know, and it was the fact that you'd seen my work to begin with that then sparked that idea in you. So we're always evolving and pushing and innovating on other ideas. So the client's kind of doing the same, isn't he? Or he, yeah. He or she. They're seeing something that you've delivered. They've decided whether it's the right solution to their puzzle, and they've gone either yeah, that's great, or no, it sparked another idea in them.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should be too harsh on them for it.
I've definitely worked on projects where we've got to the first round, I've presented the ideas, and then they've turned around and said, I think you've hit the brief, but I don't think now seeing it that it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go, no, but it is right. But it's about having that conversation and not being too proud of what you've got and what you've come up with, and just seeing what their idea is and how it could turn out. And actually, he then gave me some ideas and we kind of pushed it further. And then one of those logos was actually chosen for the Logo Lounge book.
Oh, cool.
So, but if we'd have stuck with the original idea, then maybe it wouldn't have got into the book. I don't know. But that was more of a case of he led me down one path.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down that path. And once he'd seen it, that's when he decided, actually, this is not what I want. And that's what you're saying. It's like the client cannot articulate what designers can articulate. I could say to you, Kaz, you know, I want a serif font that looks modern and slick, and I want it in all the various lockups. You know, I could give you all this stuff and you can imagine something in your head, but a client wouldn't even know that a logo is like the way a logo is configured is called a lockup.
Yeah.
Or they might not know that it's called a sans serif font.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they can't articulate what they have in their head. So sometimes, and they don't want to seem stupid as well. They don't want to come across as stupid. So they might say, just do what you want to do, or, you know.
Yeah.
So I know in the red flag episode, we did mention that like, if they just say, do whatever you want, that is a red flag. But I think sometimes it is, once they've seen something, that's when they can articulate.
Absolutely, yeah.
And like I said before, it's about just swallowing your pride and just
exactly
having the conversation. And like you said, if you completely disagree, maybe advise them. But just, it doesn't mean that their idea is bad.
And when they come back at you with these alternatives, you know, don't be a moaning little bitch about it, you know. Don't throw your toys out the pram and not give that job any love or attention or feel like it's like, oh, I've lost this love for now. You know, guys come back with some amends and it's ruined. It's not the piece that I'm proud of anymore. I think if you work with the client and, like you say, swallow a bit of pride, you'll be surprised about what you can create. Because like you said, you know, you created a logo that was picked for the Logo Lounge book. It's interesting as well, because credit as well when you're working with other designers. So if you're, say, working in a team of designers, and easily what we've just spoken about that happens with the client can happen when you're dialoguing with other designers.
Yeah.
And you design this piece, and then I think have the respect to credit the people that have been involved in the project.
Yeah.
Because just because the final file's on your computer, I just think it's sometimes a little bit misleading and almost a bit deflating for other designers when you see work that other people have done and they're claiming it is theirs when they've had a whole team and a whole, you know, kind of massive budgets all placed into where there's been multiple meetings, multiple dialogues with different types of people, market research.
Yeah.
And then you come along, or someone comes along and go, I designed this, me on my own, nobody else. My pride, my vanity is coming across. I'm taking ownership. I'm claiming this is my own.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. Yeah. You know, so I know the work that we do together, Liam, is a collaborative and we credit each other.
Yeah.
And in some aspects, people have kind of booked us on jobs because it's a Kaz and Liam show. You know, they want both of us involved on a project.
Yeah.
So I think it's about embracing that as well. Embrace and acknowledge the people that have been involved in the project. So don't be so vain that you have to then claim it's solely your job, solely your work. Yeah. You mentioned about, you know, when we think about pride as something that we should embrace in order to kind of, you know, if we look at the other meaning of pride.
Yeah.
If we have pride in our job, in our work, mm-hmm. Obviously that's a good thing, yeah?
Yeah. Like you said, it's the amount of pride that you have, though. Take it too far and you're just going to be egotistical and think you're the best. But it is about recognizing when you've done a good job. And I think a lot of that for me comes from the client, where you've done something that they're happy with. Mm-hmm. And when you feel like, you know, we got a message the other week about a project we'd been working on together from the client. It was like a Friday after, you know, end of the day Friday.
Yeah.
And it made everything just worthwhile, if you know what I mean. Like, it's been a good project to work on anyway, but then to get that kind of recognition, that's when you should take pride and say, you know what, Kaz, we did good there. Like,
absolutely,
the client is happy, and that's what's most important.
Yeah,
is that the client's happy, and that's when you can say, yeah, like, I'm proud of that.
Absolutely. And being proud, isn't it? Like, kind of, I often think about, you know, if I think about my son, a 7-year-old,
mm-hmm.
he's doing everything that a 7-year-old wants to do. He's doing karate, football, doing everything, trying lots of different things. And he's learning, always learning. And I constantly say to him, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, son. And I think we need to dish out the proud a bit more as well to the people that we're working with in order for them to feel pride. Because ultimately the feeling that you get from somebody saying, I'm proud of you, or I'm proud of the design work that you've done, or really appreciate all that, is you have a sense of pride.
Yeah.
And that's that sense of pride that then becomes almost a little bit addictive. You really want to kind of keep getting that and always doing better and pushing yourself. So I think one way of looking at our own emotions and thinking about other people's emotions is almost reminding ourselves how we might talk to our, in my case, my 7-year-old son, or a child that is like a sponge, kind of soaking up as much information as possible and learning new things. And you see all the things that you take for granted being so difficult to that child to begin with, like reading, writing, playing a musical instrument. And you see the little tiny progressions that they're making. And if you reward that with a sense of that I'm proud of you, or I'm really appreciate what you've done for us, or whatever, you fill them with pride.
Yeah.
And it's that that keeps them striving for more. And you can also see it in a child as well, and it happens with my son, is that he does karate, for example. He gets his sense of pride from all the well done's and the I'm proud of you, son, that I say to him.
Yeah.
He'll get a reward from the karate. He might win a competition or get a class star certificate. And then he can get cocky. And it's at that point when he gets cocky that you realize now you're going to have.
Then you have to give him a karate chop then.
Have to give him a karate chop and say, look, you're getting cocky. You've earned this, but you need to still continue listening. You need to still continue the hard work. And that's also quite cool to see. Quite cool to see. That sounds a bit wrong, like seeing, you know, but you're almost wanting that to happen a little bit of, if they're getting cocky, you want them to fall from being cocky to cocky. So they learn from that mistake that it's not a good thing to start acting like a know-it-all.
Yeah.
I hope that made sense.
it does. And I guess if we look at that in terms of designers and careers, it's like us now looking back on our younger selves.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned before, as it said, Sed & Co commented on one of the C3 design.
Shout out to Sed & Co, Steve.
And he was referring to the Envy episode, and it was about looking back at your work and your career and just thinking how far you've actually come.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a good one to actually just, because we do forget, don't we?
Mm.
Like the work I was doing when I was at college or even at uni, like I don't think, you know, some of it was awful.
Mm.
But at the time, I probably thought this is amazing and I'm amazing. And then over time, you just, over your career, you become humble, don't you? And you realize
that,
you know, you have come a long way and you should be proud of that. And you are, but you also realize that, you know, you can't just settle for being, you know, I'm a master now. Like, that's it.
Absolutely.
You have to just keep progressing.
And I think this episode is probably more significant to maybe people that are just finishing their courses or university or in a junior position or aiming to get a junior position. I remember when I got a distinction on my graphics course, and I was one of two in the year that did that. And I thought I was God's gift to graphic design. Like, literally, I thought I'm going to just go into the job, show all these older guys and girls that I'm the new thing, you know. And the
David Carson, move out of the way. I'm here, bro.
I'm here. I'm going to be the one that's going to be getting all the quality, cutting edge design work. And within the first hour of being employed, I felt like, you know, when you go to the fair, you know, you go to the fair and you've got that fair game. You might get it at the seaside towns where the gophers come out of the little holes and you have to twat them with a hammer.
Yeah.
That is literally how I felt. Like I'd been brought back down to earth with a big bosh right across the top of my head, back in my gopher hole, and realised that, no, sit back down, mate. You're going to be doing black and white adverts for the next 3 years and designing, you know, stuff that is not that glamorous.
Yeah.
And you're going to be learning what the real world is all about. So yeah, I had a lot of I was vain when I left college in regards to what I thought I should be and who I should be within a company.
Yeah.
Because we know that the industry goes beyond just the ability to design and ideas. It's more, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm got to talk to people on the phone or present in a room more than I've done it, you know, at college or something. It's a completely different world.
Yeah.
So,
like, for me in college, I don't even know what you learned, but. I mean, I know in the first episode you talked about college a bit, and it seemed like you did a lot more at college than we got to do. Like, we did a bit of Photoshop. That was kind of, because it was art and design course, really, but then I specialized in graphic design, but it was more hand-based stuff and a bit of Photoshop. No InDesign or Illustrator, it was all kind of Photoshop. So yeah, you do slowly realize that actually I don't really know anything, and like you say, it is just like a bit of a shock to the system that massively. Like oh, like,
and you can cut corners at college,
yeah,
and you can't get away with that in the real world, can you? You know, you can pretty much bullshit your way out of a few things at college, especially on courses. I mean, let's hold our hands up. Who gets delivered a brief and then they go off and design it the moment they got delivered the brief, the final piece? Then they spend the next 3 weeks messing about and then just doing all the background work to make it look like you've done the final piece at the end.
I definitely did that at college.
I did that.
Like, oh, I've got to fill out a sketchbook now.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to prove that I've done some background work.
But I think at the time we probably thought we were being clever, but looking back, I bet you any money the tutors could tell that it was so linear and so just like, did this, then did this, then did this, then did this.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably knew that we'd just done it the night beforehand in
and a client would, you know, sniff that out a mile away, wouldn't they? They wouldn't know exactly what's going on, and so would a creative director or a company that you know, is experienced and established. So, and it takes a little bit of you got to have a bit of an ego or vanity to try and, or your pride is two way, it's too much on the other side.
It's actually in the wrong place, because you're just like, I can put in no effort and get a good grade.
Yeah.
Whereas now we know, if you want to be proud, like we said before, you have to put in the work and impress the client, and then, like you said, continue to impress them.
Absolutely.
It's not about cutting corners and doing the least you can. And I think that's a good thing for juniors to hear, is that, yeah, like you said, number one, when you come out of college, you're not going to be superstar designer, and it takes time to, you know, you have got to put in the work to get to a point where then you should actually feel proud.
Yeah.
What do you think about, I know I touched on, obviously, Logo Lounge book. What do you think about awards? That's a topic that I hear people talking about.
I think it's how they affect your mindset that is either good or bad with awards. So I think for me, because I've got a couple of logos in Logo Lounge 12, and I was absolutely, you know, chuffed to bits.
Yeah.
But for me, it was very much a, internal thing. I didn't actually announce it when I got the winners were released. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like I wanted to or needed to. It was at a time when I was like, oh, cool, I'm proud of myself. And I didn't really want to kind of be too boastful about it. People that know or see my Instagram know that I am much more boastful about winning those awards. And it was when I had a conversation with another designer, Shane Moran.
Yeah.
And he said, you should be shouting about it and plugging it on your Instagram page, if not just to be something to be proud of, but for potential business and the idea that it might attract a client. So that's when I decided to. But it was a couple of weeks after being told that I had some, you know, logos in there.
Yeah. That's a humble way to look at it. But I think those things you should, like Shane said, use it as a, I mean, you should want to share it because you are proud.
Mm.
And then there are the other benefits of it that if a client sees that and sees that Kaz is like a published designer, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
For me, like I got a Logo Wave award, but I probably wouldn't have had the faith in putting that into an award unless it was for what happened in Logo Geek community.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm good friends with Ian now, but at the time I think it was end of 2017, he put a post in Logo Geek community asking for people to share their favorite logo design of that year. And I'd recently done that Tokyo Love Hotel design. And I guess I was happy with it. I thought it was good. So I thought, well, there's no harm in sharing it on here. And I'd never really, I think I'd shown like one project before that shared in Logo Geek, because I don't know about you, but I get kind of nervous about sharing work in that kind of forum.
Yeah.
But it felt like on that post there was lots of people sharing logos, and so it wasn't in the limelight, as it were. It was kind of just slotted in between all these other logos. But actually what Ian was doing was he then picked his top five from the community.
Yeah.
And one of mine was, he didn't give them an order. It was just like, here's my top five. And mine was one of them. And I was like, so happy about that.
Hmm.
And also shocked as well, because there was loads of logos in there and they're all like, there were some really good ones. Mateus, our friend, he got picked in that top five as well.
Oh, awesome.
And so I remember Ian had these little pin badges that he'd got made up, Logo Geek ones, and he sent me one of those. He sent me a postcard with a handwritten note, and it was just really nice. And then I thought, you know, this Logo Wave competition came onto my radar, and I thought, you know what? Logo Geek thinks this is good.
Yeah.
I think it was like $40 or something. I'm just going to invest the money and see what happens. And I did not expect, you know, when you enter and you think, you know, I'd like to come in the top five or whatever or win, but I didn't actually expect to get anywhere. And I'd been to a local design meetup that evening, and I was on my way home, and I just thought, I checked my emails. They said Logo Wave, congratulations. And I was just like, what? And so
that is cool.
I think at that moment I did feel I'll be honest and say I did feel really proud and I did feel pride. And
yeah, you should.
But it kind of took those two things to make me really think, oh yeah, that must be a good logo then.
But what awards can do, you know, when you ask me what do I feel about awards, is it can create an ego, can't it? That if you do, well, first of all, it can be really negative if you're always entering awards and don't win, that you start to have real kind of negative thoughts about your own work.
Can I point out, sorry, what, just to butt in there, but I have entered Logo Wave again and not got in. So maybe I've just done one good logo and that's
well, no, but I mean that can be like, you know, that can be some of the thoughts that you can kind of get when you keep entering a competition and don't progress. You start to maybe have self-doubt about your jobs and the work that you've done. So I think we have to bear in mind that the logos being selected are being selected by designers. In some cases, it's a little bit like Logo Tinder, isn't it?
Yeah, because in some cases, they don't even know the background.
Exactly. So as much as it's a nice thing, it's not relevant in order for your business progression, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, the thing is as well, I've just given this whole piece about me winning an award, but I definitely don't do graphic design logos or anything to enter into awards or to feel like I need an award. Like I say, it was just a bit of a push because of Ian selected it in that forum. So yeah, I even put that in my case studies on my website that, you know, that project winning the award was like I said earlier, the true kind of reward is when the client loves the logo.
Absolutely.
And is happy. And yeah, to then get an award for that logo is more like the cherry on top. And then the client, you know, obviously really likes that as well, because they can say, oh, this logo won an award. So it's quite good for their business as well. And then Kyle, actually, from Logo Wave, he's really good. He's a really nice guy. And he stays in touch. And he kind of sends you a pack of, like, you get a certificate, you get these kind of badges that you can use on your website and social media. And he really enforces that thing that you should use it as a marketing tool. You know, put it in your signature, email signature, put it on your website, put it on social media. Part of that is, you know, it's helping market the awards as well for him.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, like Shane said to you, just share it, because potential clients will see it. And it does just give you a bit more of a proof that, you know, your work is of a certain standard, I guess.
Absolutely. No, I think it's definitely something to kind of use as a tool. Definitely be mindful about how it can maybe create the idea that you're, again, a bit too big for your boots. So you rein in, kind of soak in the initial awesomeness of it, but always strive to push yourself and don't think that by winning some awards or multiple awards that you are now a design guru and completely untouchable. I think that's important to kind of, you know, stress.
No one has even heard of, you know, like, clients have mentioned it. Oh, I saw you win an award, but that's because I've put it on my website. But they've never heard of Logo Wave Awards. Within the industry, we've heard of it.
No, exactly.
Which does happen a lot with awards, like, they are kind of very industry specific. But yeah, it's like you say, it doesn't mean that you're kind of a master or have reached a pinnacle that where you should, you know, it's. I'm not Michael Beirut. I'm not Paul Rand. I'm not, you know. So
not yet.
If anything, it's actually wants me. It's kind of pushes me to actually work harder as well. In one regard, like I haven't looked at that and thought, right, you know, I've done that, I've achieved that, that's it. It's actually like, no, I need to push myself to do even better work. But I would say to people, like,
yeah,
like you said, I've entered other competitions and not won anything. So I know how that feels as well. And I would say that if you're entering competitions and you're not being selected, I wouldn't worry. And don't enter competitions just because you want to say I'm an award-winning designer or you know, I've got an award, da da da. It's like I say, for me it was just I had a bit of a push from the reception that Logo got from Logo Geek. That, yeah. If that hadn't have happened, I might probably never have entered it for an award. So.
Absolutely. And it's the same when you're actually trying to hashtag your work on Instagram in order to be featured on certain pages. You know, I got there was a period when I was like, aiming for that, almost kind of, oh, wicked, if it gets shared on Logo Inspirations, it's going to be incredible. And then when it does happen, you're just like, oh, okay, it's not really a big deal, hasn't increased that many followers for me. I didn't get £1 million contract from it. Honestly, probably no potential client or anyone that's likely to hire me is even going to be following that page anyway. So kind of pointless to a degree.
That was amazing when they showed your stuff, because I did go through a period feeling like, right, my aim for, you know, this year is to get a logo shared on Logo Inspirations. But it's not happened. But eventually you just go, why am I so bothered about getting a logo on that page? Like,
yeah. And I didn't actually get featured on their page. I only got like a share in their story.
That's amazing though. Forget that. Going back to what we're saying, that logo is amazing. That OK app logo. So
thank you.
And
thank
I think you. Knowing the story behind it, it's quite you're quite passionate about that project. And the work, well, the app and what it is and what it stands for.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure the pride there, even though Logo Inspiration shared it, you were like, wow, yes, thank you so much. And it's amazing that they've shared it. I think the real pride comes from just knowing that what that app is. And
absolutely. Those projects I've always dear to me because, you know, a little bit like the self job that I recently did. Because of there's an element of they have a real positive impact on people and people's well-being and their mindsets and all that stuff. It's so important and more rewarding and more fulfilling designing stuff for projects like that. We often have jobs where we might be designing for something that might be very non-essential, you know, it's a kind of a word that's quite used quite a lot now, isn't it? Closure of non-essential stores and essential stores, and what class is a non-essential store? But, you know, McDonald's is an essential store, apparently. So, yeah, it's nice to do work that I have a lot of pride in because of the positive impact that it has on people's well-being. So, yeah. But no, it's interesting. I mean, I definitely think that we as a collective should treat others how we like to be treated. And I think imagine how it feels when you've not had a bit of a pat on the back or dished out that being proud of somebody to fulfill them with pride. I think, you know, see it and reward and acknowledge people and the hard work that they've done. Don't cross a line with pride where it becomes vanity and narcissism and all that horrible stuff. And yeah, just be aware that you are never not learning in this industry. You're always learning, and you're always going to be, if you like, at some point top of your game, but then the game changes and you have to keep playing harder in order to still be in the game.
Yeah, like I've seen older designers asking other people, do they think they're too old now? But you know, I think that is, we'll probably all feel that, won't we, at some point? Probably.
I've been feeling that for the last 10 years. You know, I'm thinking, why am I being, why is people still coming to me for, you know? But it is a career that is a little bit kind of age biased, and there is a sense of that in the industry. Hopefully that changes moving forward and people are just recognised for the, there's no ageism, you know, for the skills that they can do. And, you know, if you're always constantly learning and pushing, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could have somebody in their 50s working on your cutting edge logo projects. It's, you know, it should be irrelevant. And I think as the world changes to become more accepting and is kind of starting to make fundamental changes with movements that are currently happening around the world and the way that maybe COVID has hit and people are starting to say no, they've seen the changes and they're like, yeah, do you know what? I don't want to go back to the norm that was before COVID. So hopefully that kind of ageism thing will diminish and, you know, become non-existent.
Yeah. And those people should have pride in the knowledge that they have as well. Like imagine the knowledge that they've amassed over a career that would be so beneficial to younger people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've had a lengthy discussion again about pride, and I think that it's been one to reflect on for me. And kind of makes me think that, you know, it's brought up my thoughts and feelings of past projects, like you mentioned the OK app and the Logo Lounge and stuff. And I definitely think that who I am today versus who I was when I was a young junior designer, just finished college, I definitely committed the sin of pride back then. Probably still committing the sin now, but in a different way.
Sorry to butt in, but what do you think that 18-year-old Kaz would think if they could see you now? Do you think, like, I guess we always want to, we like at that young age, you want to achieve everything, but imagine if you could look as an 18-year-old Kaz at what you've achieved now. And I think that person would, that young Kaz would be proud.
Definitely. And I think that young Kaz would need a bit of an explanation that it didn't come without some blood, sweat and tears. Because that's the other thing that I think younger designers or just younger people in general is they see where they want to get to and they almost expect to get there without any effort. But if I think about the blood, sweat and tears that went into getting to where I am today in career and in life, it definitely wasn't easy. So If the younger Kaz is looking at the older Kaz thinking, I want all that and it's going to be a piece of piss, then I would be jumping quickly to correct them.
Yeah.
And tell them that, yeah, if you think it was easy, then you're completely mistaken.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, I think we have to decide what our next topic's going to be.
What, right now?
For the seven. Yeah, let's do it now. Seven Deadly Sins. I can't
remember what the other ones are.
So, we got envy we've done. Pride we've just discussed. There's gluttony. Sloth.
That's definitely me. Being
lazy. And lust. Greed.
Yeah.
How about greed? Should we do greed next week?
Let's do it.
Cool.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of See Through Design.
Thanks for listening.
And we look forward to recording another episode for you guys. We've got a guest back in for you guys to listen to, one that I'm really excited about. Bit different to what else there.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one.
Awesome.
So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this chat. It's been it's definitely one to reflect on, isn't it?
Definitely.
Be proud, but don't be too proud.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.